Hello and welcome to Your Legislators here on KRWG Public Media. I'm your host, Anthony Moreno. Joining us from Santa Fe to talk about the legislative session is District 37 Democratic State Representative Joanne Ferrari. Representative Ferrari, thank you so much for joining us on Your Legislators.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Now, I'd like to start off this conversation talking about legislation that you were heavily involved with. The state Senate on Thursday blocked a bill that would decriminalize abortion in New Mexico. What are your thoughts on this bill being voted down in the Senate?
Well, honestly, we're very disappointed that certain senators, didn't listen to a lot of the voices. There are constituents who want to keep the status quo and not criminalize healthcare providers or women for having a full range of healthcare needs. And so with HB 51, after going through a lot of support, we were, pretty disappointed. And together, we're going to approach and see if we can get this passed in the next session. And the governor also was very supportive to make sure that we took these antiquated statutes off the books. We're one of only 8 states left that have kept pre-Roe v. Wade statutes. And so we need to change that. And that's all it was. It was just to remove the criminalization of healthcare providers who have to provide healthcare for their constituents. For their patients.
Now, this was a bill, legislation that took place in 1969. It's 2019. Were you surprised that this bill was failed in the Senate?
Very. We have in the House a lot of support for issues that will help New Mexico to have better legislation, and this is what all this was to do, was just to remove old statutes and to make it so that we don't have to worry about any changes that might happen in the Supreme Court. And the indicators are that this might change Roe, either to overturn it or chip away at it, and we don't want to take that chance in New Mexico of anything changing for our how the status quo is right now.
Well, I mean, you brought up Roe v. Wade. It is the law of the land, so this 1969 rule is pretty much unenforceable. So I'm kind of curious, why do you think this failed in the Senate?
I think there's some misinformation that was given out to a lot of people, basically outright lies about what this bill was going to do. And so there was a lot of push from that point of view, and maybe that influenced a few of the senators. So we tried very hard to make sure that the correct information about what this bill was going to do, and to make sure that people understood that. But it's hard to overcome, misstatements and lies.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of these misstatements and lies. What are some things that were said about this bill that are false, and from what your perspective on being a sponsor of this bill?
Well, the main one was just that doctors whose own point of view or moral beliefs, if they didn't want to perform the full range of healthcare that was needed by their patients, if they disagreed with performing an abortion, that they would have to anyway. And that wasn't true at all. There is a federal and state conscience clause that was already in the books in other places. And so we appeased that concern by going ahead and amending back in the Section 2 that would secure that they had a conscience clause.
Okay, now one other thing I want to talk with you about with this bill was that there were many Democrats that voted against your bill. So I'm a little curious about what you think that says about the Democratic Party in New Mexico if a bill like this is getting turned down in the state Senate.
Well, I can't predict or say why certain Democrats did vote against it. You'll have to talk to them.
Okay.
And I'm sure a lot of their constituents will be asking the same thing.
Now, I want to move on and talk with you about something that you've been involved with for many years, and that's been increasing the minimum wage in New Mexico. You were heavily involved with that in Las Cruces when the city was working on a minimum wage increase. I'd like to hear your thoughts on what lawmakers in Santa Fe have passed. They've sent something to the governor increasing the minimum wage. What are your thoughts on this legislation? Is this something that you feel good about?
Yes, we did have to have some compromise with the Senate's bill and some of their legislation was not as drastic as what we wanted to see. So things were changed when they came to concurrence. And so now we have a bill that we can all be proud of, making sure that we get the minimum wage up to $12 an hour. I believe the year now is by 2023. I'm a little disappointed that the CPI was not included, but we can come back to that in another session.
Okay, we'll stop right
also,
there. I want to stop right there.
Sure.
Now, you talked about the CPI, COLA, or the cost of living adjustments, dealing with inflation. You know, with that not being included in this legislation, how do you think that's going to make an impact? Is this something that's going to bring lawmakers back here again to really talk about increasing the minimum wage?
Definitely by 2023, when we quit having the adjustments, you know, already in going up to $12. After that, you know, in 2023, we can make sure that that adjustment for the CPI goes into effect, so we don't have to come back and, you know, address this again every year.
Why do you think this has been such a tough issue for lawmakers here in New Mexico to pass this type of legislation increasing the minimum wage?
I'm not sure. I think because some of the rural communities don't understand how that will put more money into their economy, because people who are at the minimum wage or lower income, they spend all of their disposable income, and so that does help the economy, just like it did in Las Cruces. We have a thriving community, and people have better ways to be able to pay their rent, help put food on the table, and that's what we need to keep in mind, to getting closer to a living wage. And so we hope that that will even be, the minimum wage will be increased even after 2023.
You mentioned rural communities. What is it about rural communities that you think are really going to be impacted by increasing the minimum wage?
Well, like I was saying, the disposable income will be there to help small businesses, local businesses, but also because of the high costs for people in rural communities to have to travel for their doctor's appointments, for education, different things like that, it will make it so that they are able to take advantage of, you know, being able to afford these things.
Now, you mentioned small business owners. Obviously, there were many small business owners that spoke out about increasing the minimum wage here in Las Cruces when that debate was going on. So how do you balance increasing the minimum wage and not hurting small business owners? Because many have said that this is an easy increase for corporations to make. They can do this. In fact, some already have on their own. So how do you find the balance with increasing the minimum wage and not hurting small business owners?
Well, that's easy, because when small businesses have to compete with larger corporations for employees and to have their workers stay longer with them. They save in having to retrain people, to make sure that they can share that small increase with overall for their products. It's not where they are going to have to make sure that they can cover their costs just like they would with any other cost increase for their products or their service. It's shared among the different customers. So it's the impact isn't really huge for their customers because it is shared, and it also helps their employees and their customers to be able to afford their products or service.
Okay, now I'd like to talk with you about something in regards to energy reforms here in New Mexico. You sit on the House Energy, Environment, and Natural Resources Committee. New Mexico lawmakers have taken a bold step in making some reforms with this, trying to get mandate, I should say, all public regulated utilities to get all electricities from carbon-free sources like solar and wind by 2045. Your thoughts on this push in legislation?
I think it's great that we are able to have that kind of directive, because that is the direction of the whole country. I've sat on the Energy Council, that's a national group of legislators, and they have already recognized how important this is, and it's also less expensive to have renewable energy. So that's something that New Mexico has a great wealth of, as well as our oil and gas, but we need to make sure that we do what we can to shift and move towards renewable energy.
So how complicated do you think this is right now? I mean, you sit on the committee, you've heard all points of view on this type of legislation and moving towards this. The state already gets, I believe it's around half of its electricity from coal, if I'm correct. Moving towards this, how do you not impact the energy industry that's doing really well right now in New Mexico?
Well, the coal industry is not doing really
well. Oil and gas industry. let me correct that statement. But okay. I know there's already calls for the coal-fired power plant to be closed down in the northwestern part of the state, the San Juan Generating Station. So with making this leap, I mean, I know Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham has been behind this. Lawmakers have been wanting to do this. Democrats are in control of both houses, and this has been a big part of campaign promises. So I'd like to hear how you move towards this and not hurt communities that depend on the San Juan Generating Station and oil and gas industry for jobs.
Well, there's already been the move away from coal because of its expense. It's so much more expensive than gas or even solar, wind. And so since those opportunities are more available across the country, coal production has, for electricity, has drastically been reduced. And so we have had legislation to support those communities to retrain and give up, make investments for renewables or other opportunities. So we are supporting those communities. We understand what they're going through. And so with solar and wind, increasing drastically right now, and with tax credits and for community solar, all of these things are working together to keep New Mexico competitive with other states.
So will communities that perhaps lose a coal-fired power plant be gaining jobs in renewable energy?
That's what we're hoping, that investments there will shift to renewable and give them opportunities for training and to set up this new type of energy.
So is there anything that you can do sitting on this committee to ensure that happens? I mean, if you could talk to those people who are about to lose their job with legislation like this from the coal-powered plant and at the San Juan Generating Station, what would you say to them to ensure that they're going to be okay?
Well, they are setting up now with the community college. They already had some programs, but you know, we're going to be boosting that. Also giving them different types of, besides the retraining, trying to get investors to come into those areas to replace, you know, what's going on. We can't do that fully, but we are doing everything we can in voting to help support type of transition.
All right, now I'd like to move on and talk about another big issue, and that is that is lawmakers have passed legislation for same day voting registration to take place in New Mexico. Now, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this happening. How do you think that could make an impact on voter turnout here in the state?
Well, since I've been going to a lot of doors, it's really hard to meet someone who has not been able to make that 30-day before the election voter registration. And people, because their lives are so busy, going to school or working two or three jobs sometimes, this same-day registration will make it so that as we meet people and they are and excited about being able to vote, maybe, you know, kind of in the last 30 days, that we will be able to register them and have them participate as everyone should be able to participate.
Okay, now I'd like to also talk with you about something that made big news recently. The House passed legislation that would legalize the recreational use of cannabis in New Mexico through state-owned stores. Now, it looks like this may be stalling in the Senate Finance Committee. What are your thoughts on that legislation possibly stalling? I know you said you voted for that bill. So why did you support that bill, and how do you think it can make an impact here in New Mexico?
I think as the trend in the rest of the country, to be able to monitor and register, people who grow the product, be able to monitor so that we don't have underage use, and making it so that by legalizing it, we also make it so it's not criminal, which a lot of people have suffered for that needlessly. And we need to also be able to generate more funds for our state. And I think this is a great way to do that.
Now, I'd like to hear more from you about something that voters approved in the past election, and that was the creation of an independent ethics commission. Now, I don't think it's any secret to anybody in New Mexico. We've obviously had some issues with ethics in this state. We've had people in statewide positions go to jail, actually, for fraud, embezzlement, things like that. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on this commission possibly getting stalled. It appears that the House passed a version and then the Senate had their own version. Do you think that there's going to be any kind of compromise or perhaps any sort of legislation passed to where New Mexicans are going to have an independent ethics commission in 2019?
I sure hope so. I was on the House Ethics Committee, and I think it's important that we do have a commission that, you know, as legislators, if we have a question about something, that we could go to and get their decision, you know, whether or not this was a conflict, whether or not it was something that we should or shouldn't be involved in, or if someone does make an infraction that we think isn't right, then have that commission to be able to look at it and give some direction.
I'd like to also talk with you about something that has drawn some news during this legislative session, and that is the issue of paying lawmakers. Now, I know lawmakers have, in the House, have approved legislation to establish a commission to study paying lawmakers in New Mexico salary. Now, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. Do you think lawmakers in New Mexico should be paid a salary? If so, why?
We are the last state in the nation not to pay any salary to their legislators. I think it's important to be able to make it affordable for anyone who wants to be a legislator to take that time, you know, 60 days one year and 30 days the next. But we get per diem and then any travels for interim. But that's not the same as getting a salary. I think it's important, especially for young people. One of our legislators and from our county, quite a few of our legislators from our county are young people who have to give up their salaries during this time, and then also have the support of their spouse to take care of kids, so they lose their income, and then also to, they are losing both ways. So I think it's important to be able to attract more people to become a legislator, to run for office, that we offer some sort of compensation during this time.
Do you think the current system, the way it's set up, favors people who are retired or wealthy to run for office?
Some people are able to, as teachers, take time off and use their comp time.
Do you think it favors
yes,
the retired or the wealthy?
Uh-huh. It does. Because we make sacrifices being away from home, but yet we would have whatever income we already have established that doesn't have to be put on hold.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, I'd like to move on and talk about something that kept you up early into the morning recently, and that is talking about legislation in regards to film incentives. Now, the House voted early Friday morning on
yes,
extending the cap for film incentives to from, I guess it was $50 million to $110 million. Your thoughts on this legislation and how it can make an impact in New Mexico?
Sure. I don't know about we were increasing from 25% to up to 30, I think. Another 5% tax credit for filmmakers to come south of Albuquerque area, where Santa Fe and Albuquerque have a lot of opportunities. We want to incentivize them coming to southern New Mexico or other parts of rural New Mexico to produce their films or series. I think the series even get more of a tax break. But especially Las Cruces, we're trying to expand and have our soundstage and make it so that we can have jobs for our students who are going through the community college program or the university program. And then plus all the other, the lodging, the food service, things like that, that are expanded also when a movie comes to our area.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of excitement when a film is on location in town. We've seen that recently in Las Cruces. However, the Albuquerque Journal reported last year that major film productions were down in New Mexico, and hiring hours of New Mexico crew members were also down. So with these numbers, is it the right time to really, you know, make such a big investment in a risky industry like film?
I would never call it a risky business.
Well, these aren't year-round jobs. I mean, and also, you know, it's not going to be here, year-round. This is something that temporarily is on location. So I'm a little curious. I mean, on why is it not risky? I'd like to hear why it's not.
What we're hoping in Las Cruces and the southern area of the state is that when it is colder and more inclement weather in Santa Fe or Albuquerque, that it will make us in the south more attractive to come down and do some outdoor filming, but also with the soundstage too. If we have a film after film, it becomes year-round, not just, you know, temporary. So that's what we're trying to incentivize again for those filmmakers to come to New Mexico.
Now, there's already a backlog with film incentives, and we're running out of time here, but I'm kind of curious, you know, your thoughts on the backlog with film incentives. I know there was a legislation to pass up to $225 million for this. Do you think that, you know, with such a backlog, do you think it's the right time to really extend the cap on this?
Well, if we can catch up with our increased budget available, that catching up with that will then reassure the filmmakers that we can hold true to our offer of the tax credits.
Okay, Representative Ferrari, unfortunately, we are out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining us on Your Legislators.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for your coverage.
And we want to thank you for joining us for Your Legislators. You can stay updated with news anytime at krwg.org. We're also on social media as well. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And you can email us your thoughts and story ideas to feedback@nmsu.edu. Also, I want to send a big thanks to our crew members, and many of them are students who woke up bright and early to help produce this program. I'm Anthony Moreno. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next time.